Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy. Hello, everybody. This is Brian McAvoy with Inside Out Trading, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to be interviewing Tim Ord of the Ord Oracle. He's been around for a while, been trading since the 90s, and it's got some unique perspectives that we're going to explore today. Tim, thanks for taking time out of your day to do this with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, indeed. So you got started in the early 90s. That's when I got my start too. I mean, for me, it was Ken Roberts' mailer campaign that drew me in, and I got started in futures. How'd you get started with trading?
Actually, I started back in, I was a stockbroker in 1977. That was my first year. It was Dean Witter. And the big three brokerage firms back then, they're all defunct now, but was Dean Witter, Merrill Lynch, and E.F. Hutton. I worked for Dean Witter. And so I sat kind of, I had a math degree from the University of Nebraska. So technical analysis always was my forte, I guess it made sense to me. But back in the 70s, and even actually part of the 80s, technical analysis kind of looked on badly, I guess you might say, because everybody back then was fundamentalist. So, but anyhow, that's, I've been in the business since, and I got interested in technical analysis through Stan Weinstein. He was one of the original technical analysis guys. So I took his market letter and kind of started off from there, and that was basically mid-80s. But at that still time, I was still a stockbroker until late 80s. But that was kind of my start, I guess. So, but my market letter never started until like 1990. So I've been at it a while. So
Well, and things were a lot different back then. I mean, you figure back in the 80s, I mean, that was when, you know, calculators were still new. PCs weren't even, they weren't even a thing back then.
So. Yeah. Oh no. You did. you bought graph paper and drawing your own charts. You know, starting out in the '70s, it got a little bit modernized after that. But yeah, it was a struggle to get charting back then. So
yeah. But well, now, so as far as your technical analysis, so what were you? What kind of methodologies were you employing back then?
It's actually there was a GAN method that didn't work really well. Elliott Wave was kind of popular back then. I forget the guy's name, but it, you know, Elliott Wave was big, and that didn't really work well. Then he started doing moving averages. That worked better. So it was all kind of low tech, and it was kind of like a, back then it was kind of, people thought it was more as voodoo, it was actually rather than a science. So, but it evolved, and now it's quite in depth, you know, the stuff you were doing now compared to then. It's, but that was, you know, I had to start somewhere, I guess. So we started pretty much at the bottom of everything.
Oh, so, well, you're just to give everybody a little, another reference as far as the state of technology. I remember back in the 70s, long distance calls were a thing back then. I mean, that was a topic of conversation, and being able to make a long distance call without it costing you $100. And having a good clear call, that was a big thing. Until the 80s, it kind of got sorted out.
It was, then you had modems, you know, that started off in modems in the mid-80s. You know, you got your information from modems, you had to dial up a phone, and you had to wait for this weird sound to connect, and the process was slow and tedious, a lot of drop lines. It was kind of prehistoric, I guess, compared to nowadays. You know, it's advanced a lot, but those were struggles trying to get the information currently. Cause you know, if you went through a modem, you waited and waited, and the information would gradually show up. And so you had to be really forthcoming if you wanted to get into the technical analysis information downloads, cause you had to wait for it. It was a struggle, but,
Well, but you made it work. So how long did it take you to actually kind of get a handle on trading and get it working?
That took quite a few years. It was like everything, you start off, you know, you don't bet your life savings on it, but you know, you get blown up a couple of times along the way. And those are the best times to figure out what you did wrong, what you did right. And most starting out, I did mostly wrong. Right. But as and I read a bunch of books, a lot of these books got me in the wrong direction because there just weren't a lot of good information back then, you know, compared to now, I think it's a lot better, but, you know, but they took you on different paths, you know, paths worked out fairly well. Other paths didn't work out at all.
Right.
But
And let me catch you before you get too far off the topic, just because you brought it up. It's a little different take. Don't everybody talks about stuff that they love and all the, you know, the great stuff and everything. I don't hear very often somebody will say, well, you know, ran across this and it didn't work out that great. So as far as books that you read back then, what were there any of the like more famous books that you kind of found weren't quite up to the reputation or anything along
that? Well, I can tell you the ones that actually started to get me on the right track was Counseling Charting. I think it was Steve Neeson's book as Counseling Charting. And that seemed to improve a lot from bar charting. Then I got into volume, and that's the Weisskopf method. That actually got more on track of doing things right. Then I actually wrote a book on volume, Secret, Triumph, Surprise, and Volume. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took that Weisskopf method to another level, and you know, it fine-tuned quite a few different things that helped me out. So
that we can help out to the people that haven't heard of the Weisskopf method and volume trading, it kind of give everybody a brief kind of overview of what it's about and how it's different from some of the other kind of more traditional, so to speak, methods.
Well, actually, volume, basically a high volume, in other words, what you want to have if you're doing a bar chart or a counseling chart or some sort of a chart, you want volume higher on the upswings than you do on the downswings. And that shows there's price energy to the upside. And actually, I do have a software program that I've sold in the past, and it's still out there. Matter of fact, you can Google Ord volume and you'll find some examples about it. But it measures the average daily volume on an upswing or compared to the downswing. As long as a higher volume on average is on the upswing compared to the downswing, the market's in an uptrend. And vice versa to the downtrend, the volume will start to increase on the downswings compared to the upswings. And that's how you define which way the direction of that particular issue is going, just by measuring the volumes of the upswing compared to the downswings. So that's I've learned that throughout the years. But you know, there's another thing too. You know, when they have panic, I always brought this up to panic is another topic that I really kind of honed in on over the last actually 20 some years. I really kind of discovered it just by, like everybody else does, when there's panic in the market, everybody exit the trade, whatever. Well, those are huge opportunities to step into a trade. And I've done a lot of work over the years on panic. Panic only happens in one area, and it always comes at bottoms. If you don't have panic, you don't have a bottom. So if the market's going down, there's no panic, that market's going to continue down until it does get panic. And panic is basically big downswings with big volume. If you start seeing that, you're seeing panic, and that's an opportunity. And how long panic can last? Usually panic lasts a very short period of time compared to tops. Tops can take weeks, months, you know, sometimes even years, but most times weeks or months. Bottoms happen in a day or two or three. It just totally blows out to the downside. So you got a very small window to buy into that panic. And but if you look at all bottoms, you'll see a big spike in volume. And that's, you know, there's panic. And that's an opportunity not to sell, but actually to buy. So, but if the market goes down gradually and the volume's fairly consistent as it goes down, that's usually you're not showing panics. Panic is when volume increases like at least 50%, if not 100% compared to the previous days. If you see that big jump in volume, you know the panic is occurring. I can talk a little bit about the trend too, but a lot of people may not know about the trend, but but volume wise, there's usually a big spike in volume that's at least 50% greater than the previous days before it. A lot of times, sometimes 100% more. So I just wanted to point that out. So,
well, so as far as using panic as a buying opportunity, you're saying that, if I heard you correctly, you're saying that if you haven't hit bottom, it's really not a panic. So, but the bottom's going to occur after the panic, isn't it? I mean, because isn't that like when it's kind of petering out? Or
no. What I'm saying is, as the market's going down, and you know, there's relatively consistent volume as it's going down. The market's kind of down every day. There's, say, example, 100,000 share day after day after day, and all of a sudden you see 200,000 shares. Right. Then that's the point that the market is panicked, and that's the opportunity. But if it's consistently going down 100,000 shares a day, then that can go on forever until you do find that, 200,000 shares, and that's the time, the opportunity, I guess, is what I'm saying, to step in on the opposite side of the trade. And usually, if you look at the fundamental side, it's always bad news bottoms, so it's always earnings didn't reach expectations or some other thing, some bad news. So it makes people fear that the market's going to continue down. But
right. Well, so as far as it being a buying opportunity, so do you wait until you start to see the volume start to be on the downside of a peak, as far as like if the market's falling and hitting the growing volume coming down, or are you looking for the volume to start dropping off that's the time to start looking to get in, or are you want to ride it when it's still increasing volume and it's going down?
Well, like I said, there's a spike in volume, and so you're basically catching a falling knife. That's how they say it in the business. So it's all the I guess we don't have charts to look at, but if all the charts, no matter on a weekly, daily, or even sometimes they even show up on a monthly, you can actually take the price chart away and just look at the volume chart, and you'll see what they look like, a finger on the volume chart. And I'll say that that's either a high or a low. Or if it's down volume, it's obviously a bottom. If it's up volume, it's a high. But you're able to pick out, without the chart even present, you'll be able to pick out that chart just by the volume, or the bottom just by the volume, because that's when the spike happens. The finger, if you look at a bar volume chart, you'll see a finger there, and that finger is the panic period. So I've learned over the years that's an opportunity, not a, when everybody's panic, you're actually, I guess you're rushing towards the fire,
Right. So. Huh. Well, so you'd mentioned how, you like candlestick charting. So how do you blend candlestick charting in with your volume analysis?
Well, it's I use candlestick charting, just easier to read than a bar chart. But there's a lot of other things I do. I measure average volume up, average volume down. So if you see this big spike in volume to the downside, then normally you'll have to find a bottom, you'll have a retracement of just as high as volume on the other side. Now, if you don't, then you haven't really seen, you've seen a bottom, but not a major bottom. So usually when a bottom happens, you got panic selling at a bottom. And on a major bottom, you have pretty much panic buying off that low. And if you look at all the major lows going back to, 1900 in the stock market, you have a selling climax, and right after it, you have a buying climax. But if you have a selling climax, the market just gradually goes up. You picked a low, but not a major low. Major lows happen when there's major selling, then right after it's major buying. If there's major selling, then a whole rally that's volume is relatively average, I guess, to the upside. That's just consolidation for more selling coming later. So you got to have selling panic and selling or buying panic. That's how you define a bottom.
So with your style of trading, you're not day trading. You're like probably short term trading, eh?
No, it's mostly trend trading. I got long. Oh, I don't have it. Let's see. I got long on the S&P's April 12th. Which was kind of a down month, and I bought the down month because we had a spike in volume. And at the moment right now, I'm still long, but I think we're entering into a high. This is on the S&Ps. I think we're entering a high in this vicinity. So there's probably a high, you know, within the next several days, actually, some sort of a worthwhile high because of sentiment readings and stuff. And but I do stuff with VIX too. I don't want to get too far into the weeds of technical analysis, but if we can stay on volume, the volume is on this last rally up is kind of weak compared to what it has been. So there's less energy to the upside.
Yeah, no, I was mostly inquiring, like, as far as what kind of time frame you like to trade. Are you like
monthly?
Monthly. Okay.
Yeah, I'm at that. So I'm looking for trend trading. You know, like I said, I've been in eight, you know, so I've been in 3 months long. So I make about, I try to catch the major swings for the year. So I'll make maybe 6-7 trades a year. And I'm trading the S&Ps. A lot of time I trade the gold market too. And I trade stocks too. But for my customers, I trade the S&Ps and the gold market.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. So as far as the candlestick, you just like it because it's a little cleaner to read. You're not getting all super, super, you know, candlesticky about it, you know, looking for dojis and hammers and all the specialty candles and engulfing patterns and all that kind of stuff. You just like it because it's a cleaner looking chart.
Yeah, it's a cleaner looking chart. And also, it works pretty well on the weekly charts. It pops out a lot easier than a bar chart. You know, if you look at a weekly chart and you go back several months or something like that, the candlestick chart seems to pick out pretty easy. You know, on a daily here today, if we close where we are, it looks like it could be a dark cloud cover or maybe a bearish engulfing pattern. I don't know, sure what today is, but volume is going to be higher today than yesterday. That means today's high will be tested. So today's high, if tested next, if tomorrow or next week, then I'm probably out of the market long position. But it'll only be maybe multi-weeks or so, because I think the summer doldrums, I guess, we're heading into. And usually you don't get big runs during the summer.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you know, volume plays a huge part. Panic plays a huge part in my technical analysis. And I have a lot of type different indicators that help define panic. If you're familiar with the trend, TRIN, which is Richard Arms back in, I think, 70s invented it, which is, he's deceased now. But what that trend is advancing issues over declining issues divided by advancing volume over declining volume. So it takes in price and volume all in one little reading. Mm-hmm. And they call it the trend or Arms index. And readings one mean the up volume and down volume and advance decline are pretty much similar and doesn't really say much. But if you get up around 1.2 or higher than 1.2, you're starting to see panic. And as you go into lows in the market, that trend reading will sometimes approach, you know, 2, 2.5, maybe even 3. And that kind of implies there's about 300% more down volume than up volume going down into a low. So you're definitely seeing panic, more stocks going down and more volume on the down stocks. And that's another reason to how you can tell there's panic in the market. Gosh. So I do a lot of stuff with trends too. Cool. So,
So how long ago did you start as far as helping other traders and teaching other people your method and stuff?
I was in a brokerage firm, and I had an inner house market letter. So I sent out this little letter. Actually, it was over. Right now, I sent this little letter called Timothy Timely Tips, is how I named it, and went out all to the branch offices, what I thought about what was going on in the market, and everybody liked it. And so I did that for several years, and gradually the internet kind of started popping up in late 80s, early 90s, and I'd text my stuff to different brokerage firms, mm-hmm. just for free, you know, here's what I think and stuff. And that kind of took me one step closer. Then finally in about actually late 1989, I started sending out, you know, I got people from different brokerage firms asking me, you know, about this stuff. So anyhow, I started the market letter, through fax service. I sent out a fax, which was super expensive back then. Yeah. And it was, and they had fax software that would mail out or send my fax over the modem.
Oh, yeah.
Slowly. And sometimes those connections would drop. I have to get back, you know, and re-enter that, type in the phone number and send it to them. And that's, I started through a fax service back in very late 80s, early 90s. And that lasted a couple of years until the internet became more, you know, accessible, I guess. But I did a fax for a number of years. So it was frustrating. It wasn't hard doing all the technical work, putting the market letter together. It was, the hard part was just trying to get all the information out to them, because you get dropped lines all the time. And so you had to get up a couple hours later and find out who didn't get their, you know, and resend it. So I didn't ever get, you know, I started in the morning about 7 o'clock, and I get my market letter done about mid afternoon, and it took about another 6 hours to get the report out to everybody. It's just, that was the hard part. It's frustrating. Phone calls, and plus you paid for it. Oh. Long distance phone calls back then. That was a big, pretty big bill, phone bill back then.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it was easy to run up phone bill, a couple hundred bucks, yeah.
Oh, take that times 3 or 4 or 5 sometimes. It was expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a mess. And plus they call, and so that was back and forth. But anyhow, it started off slowly. The revenues were not great back then, but once everybody got it on the internet, and that was a lot easier now. So, and back then, there was not a lot of guys like us back then. So the clientele were there's much more, if a guy wanted a technical analysis, they had maybe a couple of hundred nationwide to describe to. I mean, I don't know how many there was exactly, but there wasn't like thousands like they have now.
Oh, yeah.
So you had a lot of people describing to you. So, they paid for the phone bills and stuff, but yeah. It was quite the management. That hard part was just managing all that, faxes and stuff. It was a headache. Nice. So.
Well, so what are you doing lately as far as helping traders? So what do you got going on over the Ord Oracle?
Ord Oracle, we're long right now, and actually this year, next couple of months could get choppy, but we're long the market this year. We're up about 12% so far this year, and we may stay out of the market next couple of months. And I think you still got another 10% higher than approximately where we are right now, but. Next couple of months could be choppy. Gold market, we're long gold market. Actually, that was a big bottom back in 2022, about between August and October. That was a major low. Gold market's been, as far as the gold stocks, they've been really taken off since March. They're up not quite 100%, but close to it. Okay. And I don't see a top yet, so... that's what we're doing. Last year, we're up 28%. Year before, I think that was COVID year. The market was down 28%. We were down 3%, but the market was down 28%. So, and this year we'll be up. We're up double digits so far. We'll probably be up 20%, maybe 25 if we get lucky. So it's been a good year. The last couple of years have been. Very good years, actually. So it's money supply. If they keep expanding the money supply, the bull market will continue. So that's what happens. So if they restrict the money supply, that's when you get these bear markets. And so I don't know what they're going to do, but fundamentally, if the money's there, a lot of times that finds its way into the market. So that's what's been happening here. But it's inflationary. That's the reason why gold's going. So.
Yeah. Right. Well, so again, back over to your site. So as far as your newsletter, how often do you publish your newsletter?
My market letter comes out 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. And sometimes Friday, if it needs to come out and say something, or if I make a signal, I send out an email right before the close, right at the close, and where I'm going flat or whatever. But it covers the equity market, which is the SPX, and the gold market. And it goes in depth, and I usually 4 days a week, which is three pages of market analysis, gets right to the point where I'm looking about or what I'm talking about. And right now the market's getting a little frothy as far as sentiment is concerned, so I point that out, show charts of what I'm looking at and stuff. So it's quite a bit chart heavy, and I point to so I'm a visual guy rather than an English major, I'll put it that way. So a lot of my stuff is on the chart, and this is reason I point to the arrows on the chart. This is the reason why I'm worried about, you know, the next week, or we're nearing a high. And so, and I try to stay long as I can, but when it's time to get out, I get out, and I'll go flat for, you know, a couple of months and stuff. So it's not like I'm trading wildly. Again, my trades are 6, 7, maybe 8 trades a year. So it's not a lot of trading. So it's trend analysis, what I try to stay with.
Gotcha. Cool. Huh. Well, so you also got your book, which people can get at your site, right?
Yeah, I get a site. It's on Amazon too. It's Secret Science of Price and Volume. I do have it on my site, but Amazon is on Amazon. So, and at some point, I'm going to probably add some more information to that, but write another book. And all the stuff I have in that book is has stood the test of time, I guess you might say. As if you try it, you'll see it works. Yeah. And but I, over the years, I've wrote that, I think it was back in 2008. So I've learned some new tricks since then, and that could add to that book. So I haven't wrote it yet, but I'm thinking about it here next maybe couple of years. So the only book I got out right now is Secret Science, Price and Volume.
Well, no, I like a byline on it too. And I mean, even on your site, it says, you know, this, the Secret Science of Price and Volume, leading market timer, Tim Ward, outlines a top-down approach to trading, identifying the trend, picking the strongest sectors, focusing on the best stocks within those sectors. This will allow you to excel in a variety of markets. With this book as your guide, you'll quickly become with Ord's proven method and discover how it can be used to make more profitable trading decisions. Yeah, very cool. And of course, everything's got to be on Amazon. It's not on Amazon, it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah, it's true. So
yeah, very cool. Very cool indeed. You got to, you say that you're strictly technical analysis, but you got enough time in, as far as some of the, you know, somebody who's relatively new to the markets, what advice would you have for them? Somebody who's relatively new, maybe been in only, you know, a year or less. What advice would you have for them?
It's always a struggle because the information out there is, there's so much of it. And that's the problem with back when I was doing it, there wasn't a lot of information. So you could kind of hone in on stuff more quickly and figure out if it works for you or it doesn't. Stuff out there now is just, I mean, it's knee deep, if not deeper, but they're really honing in on things. I guess to me, they get to the profitable side as you can. You know, I really study about volume. There's a lot of books besides my book out there on volume, and most of the stuff is actually pretty accurate. So I start off with volume and price type indicators or books, I guess you might say. Candlestick charting's fine, but it doesn't deal with volume. It just shows you a chart. But it's good to know that. But it doesn't incorporate volume with the candlestick charting, but it's good to know candlestick charting in that dojis and all that other stuff we talked about are relevant, I guess you might say. Not, they don't produce actually great signals, but they do give you a little bit of information to make, you know, some analysis on. But you need to know what volume is, and you need to know what price is. So I'd head to price and volume books. Hmm. That will get you on the right track the best.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, well, and the other thing about it, as far as just, you know, one thing I try to impress upon everybody is make sure that whatever method you're trading with, you know, you do want to have a method so you can get good at something. And the other thing is, that's really crucial, is make sure you understand the reasoning behind the method. Don't just grab a method because it sounds cool or it looks cool on a chart. Make sure you understand why it should work. And as far as volume and Wyckoff's approach to it with volume analysis and everything, I've always liked it because it does make sense. It's like, yeah, if it's one thing to see a market move, but when you see a market move and there's a lot of people moving it, that gives it a whole lot more credence. Or versus if you see a move and it's real thin behind it. So yeah, just from a real basic standpoint, yeah, I've always liked the Wyckoff for that reason. It's like looking at price and volume, they go hand in hand as far as being able to get in and out of the markets and make sense of it and make money. So very cool.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, and if for everybody that's listening, if you want to swing by Tim's site, it's the ord-oracle.com. That's ord-oracle.com. And you can find out a little bit more about him and his newsletter, how you can sign up for his newsletter if you want to get his book, or of course get his book off the off of Amazon. But yeah, if you're interested, especially with stocks, incorporating the volume analysis, Tim's been at it a long time, had a chance to really refine and hone his learnings and his methods and everything. So if this resonates with you, don't just have this pass and be that was cool and then you forget about it tomorrow. If you like it and it resonates with you, go and swing by his site and then check out what he's got. Probably help you out, be a better trader and make better money and trade with more confidence. So, Tim, again, thanks for taking the time out of your day to, share your wisdom with us today, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I loved it. Thanks.
You bet. And everybody that's listening, I applaud you for taking time out of your day to, learn about, more about trading and becoming a better trader, a more knowledgeable trader, not just chasing strategies and signals. So, keep up the good work, and again, act on the information, and if it resonates with you, and if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe, share it with your friends, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers. Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by insideouttrading.com and pick up your free copy of Break the Cycle, 10 things you can do to stop reinforcing the past and get your trading on the right track. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers!